Thank you for listening to this lesson presented by Reverend Millage Mosby. We affirm that this lesson has inspired and uplifted you and given you practical tools you can use to divinely guide you in every aspect of your life. We give thanks that as a listener of our online Sunday lessons, you are open to donating to support this web ministry. Please click on the donate button and follow your inner guidance. Thank you, and we continue to hold you in the light.
Well, good morning again. And good morning to our internet listening audience, which we understand is getting larger and larger. So we are in the Advent series. This is the second in the series, and today is on peace. And just let me read, and you can follow along in your bulletin. The second week of Advent represents peace and is symbolized by an angel. An angel is a messenger from God, and so are all Christ-like thoughts. Those are the thoughts that guide us and lead us to an awareness of the presence of Christ within us, just like the shepherds were led to Jesus from the angel's words. The angel's message to the shepherds was peace on earth, goodwill to all people. And this angel guided them to the Christ. When we respond to our Christ thoughts, we also are led to peace and are able to experience peace and goodwill in all circumstances in our lives. We are able to experience the Christ. So, let me just say this one part again. When we respond to our Christ thoughts, we are at peace and are able to experience peace and goodwill in all circumstances in our lives. So this idea, the key to understanding this statement, is to realize that to be able to respond to our Christ thoughts, we must first be open and receptive to our Christ thoughts. And again, our Christ thoughts, a lot of times we call them intuition, right? But it's when you get those little messages that, you know, you were getting ready to do this, and this little message says, don't do that, do this, all right? Those are the Christ-like thoughts. And especially for our visitors, it's the understanding that there is a higher power, a higher experience in our consciousness. There is a conscious mind, superconscious mind, the conscious mind, subconscious mind, and superconscious mind. We mostly are aware of what's going on in our conscious mind, even though we're very much affected by what's happening in our unconscious mind. And that's actually, being a marketing professor, that's where most advertisements are aimed at, is not your conscious mind, which can say yes or no. It's aimed at your subconscious mind, all right? You probably have heard it called subliminal advertising, which is actually illegal, but they still do it. Oh, yeah, it's very much so, you know. But anyway, so it's understanding that we have this higher mind, okay? And you cannot respond to God's help in your time of need if you're not consciously open to responding to God's help. In other words, if you go right to it, your intellect, and you're not becoming still first to see if you get a higher answer, if you have this knee-jerk reaction, and that's what happens to us a lot of times, stuff happens and we have a knee-jerk reaction. Instead of that knee-jerk reaction, stuff happens when you hear it, your first reaction is to become still, thinking nothing, so that you're open to a higher thought process entering, all right? So that's the practical application of that. And we demonstrate our openness through tranquility. And to be tranquil is to be free from agitated disturbance. It is to be free from anxiety and tension in your thinking, speaking, and being. It's like I tell my students the first semester of every semester that by the end of this term, you'll be aware of every thought that goes to your mind, every word that comes out of your mouth, and every deed that you perform. Now, of course, they'd say to me, what? That's not possible. But the fact that I said it to them causes the process to start happening. Okay? So my favorite affirmation is that I am open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth. Stuff happens. Instead of me responding to that stuff that happened, my first thought is I am open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth. And this is a very powerful affirmation in it that it signifies a conscious willingness to receive and respond to the guidance that your Christ mind that dwells within you is giving to you. Okay? Now, again, let me just say, I am open, I am receptive, I am willing, all right? Now, when you become, when you allow life to move you from love to fear, fear is typically not open or receptive. You follow me? So when you let yourself get pushed into that realm, even though you're receiving these spiritual ideas, and it's not always the spiritual ideas coming from within your own head, it can come from a child. It can come from a bulletin board. It can come from, like, the movie I was watching last week. I'll tell you what the cowboy told the other cowboy: your ego is not your amigo. In other words, you're getting ready to get in trouble, right? Okay? So you can hear it in all different ways, but you have to be open to hearing it, right? I mean, how many people have heard a child say something so profound that you're like, wow, you know? So what did it say? Out of the mouths of babes, okay? So you want to work on that idea of being open, receptive, and willing, okay? And being, you know, being unwilling towards God is when you give way to fear instead of remaining centered in what we're calling faith, peace, love, and joy, the Advent journey, okay? Now, for most of us, peace means fairly the same as it does in a definition in a dictionary. For most of us, peace is the absence of hostilities and freedom from quarrels or disagreements, basically meaning if nobody's bothering me, I'm okay, right? That's what peace, how we normally say, well, how's it going? Well, nobody's bothering me, so I'm good. So that means as soon as somebody bothers you, what? You're not good, all right? That's not peace. That's a pseudo definition of peace. It's like we don't operate from true love. We operate from a pseudo version of love. A pseudo version is, I'm going to love you as long as you're doing the things I want you to do. You go outside those parameters, it's off, right? That's not love. That's the definition, ego's counterfeit version of love. That's part of what it means, the Ten Commandments, that thou shalt not commit adultery. Yeah, on a surface level, it means what we all think it means. But on a higher level, it means don't adulterate or water down God's word, which is love. Love at its highest level, we water it down. We commit adultery every time we water that down. Does that make sense? Okay. So peace, the peace we're referring to in this study is the peace that Paul referred to in Philippians 4:7 when he said, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding and keeps your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Meaning, when it says in Christ Jesus, it means in the consciousness in which Jesus' mind was. Which also, you know, we could look at the consciousness of Krishna, the consciousness of Buddha, who lived 3,000 years before Jesus, were already demonstrating that level of consciousness. You kind of follow the idea? So it's a space that you get into where you don't let outside forces move you out of, all right? So in the Revealing Word, the book that we use to define words in the Bible, it says, peace is the harmony and tranquility experience when you become aware that Christ dwells in you as your hope of glory. Christ being the divine standard within each one of us. So again, we look at Jesus as the type man. So if you said to God, how should I be? God would say, be like Jesus. Now, remember, be like Jesus as when he went through the transformation. Jesus started out as Jesus the man, evolved to Jesus Christ. And then after the crucifixion and resurrection, he resurrected as Christ Jesus. So every one of us right now, remember that experience exists in every one of us, but we're not yet fully awake to it. Okay. So, but the dictionary definition of peace is typically common human thought. In other words, when outer conditions are right, then we are all right. And if nobody or nothing is bothering us, we are at peace. And as we all know, right is a matter of individual perception. So what is right for one person is not right for another person. You get it? So when we say, oh, well, the things are all right, that's because your perception is seeing that. That, again, is why I always teach this idea that there is no reality, there's only perception, meaning it's only how I see it through my eyes and my mind. Okay? But when you get to the truth transcends our perceptions. Love is love no matter what dynamics we try to stir it up in. It's pure and it's absolute. Okay. Now, however, the spiritual definition of peace is not dependent on outer conditions. Rather, it flows from you when you develop the ability to become still and focus your attention on the presence of the Christ within you. And once you have touched this level of peace, it does not matter what is happening outside of you. You still remain in the peace of God within you. Okay, and I know that the example I use quite a bit is Viktor Frankl. in the book, Man's Search for Meaning, right. When he talks about being in a Nazi concentration camp and, you know, all of his Jewish relatives are being taken and persecuted, but he was working on a specific idea. And because he was so focused on that idea, it's almost like he became invisible to what was happening around him. They never touched him. And he just kept focused on an idea. He was dealing with the idea of absolute love. There was a word he used for it, which I can't remember right now. But he was working with this absolute love. And he was so focused on that in this concentration camp that all around him never touched him. Right? Now, we can't even imagine what that's like. Okay? So when we talk about the stuff that goes on in our lives, you get what I'm saying? Right? That's just an idea that it is possible to remain Christ-focused, Christ-centered, no matter what is happening around you. Okay? Now, this doesn't mean that we do not care what is happening around us or to other people that we care about. What it does mean is that you do not allow outer circumstances to separate you from your faith, that the power and presence of God is at work in this situation and everything is unfolding in divine order. Okay? Did that make sense? You want me to say it again? Okay, so what it does mean is you do not allow outer circumstances to separate from your faith in the power and presence of God at work in this situation and knowing that everything eventually will work out in divine order. Okay? So you have to know that it's working out in order. Now, it's extremely important, especially when the situation is beyond your control and you're at a loss of what to do. Go within. When you're at a loss of what to do, go within and grasp the peace of God with both hands. Okay? And as you know, as Scripture defines it, grab on and hold on to God with your heart, mind, soul, and spirit. So you're at the edge of your intellect. The intellect is like, well, I don't know what to do with this. Okay? Well, that's actually a good place to be. Because now that you know that you're at the end of your rope, you need to let go and let God be God in those situations in your life. Now, to let God be God means that God is always working for our highest good. The universe is always working for our highest good. God, remember, is not an anthropomorphic being up in the sky with a big computer that's figuring out who he's going to help and who he's not. Okay? Jesus said, or Paul said, God is in whom we live and breathe and have our being. We're in the body of God. All right? That's why God knows all that's going on. God knows what you need even before you ask, because we live in the body of God and the body of God lives in us. So we're in this constant flow of divine process unfolding. So, now strive to mentally let go of the outer circumstance. That's what you're striving to let go of the outer circumstance, let go of the situation until you feel the peace of God permeate every fiber of your being. So stuff happens. The first thing you want to do is go somewhere and become still and quiet. Because when the stuff happens, your body stirs up. Your mind stirs up. Your mind actually creates stuff that's not even there. It's not even going to happen. But your mind is creating all of this drama, right? So the key is to go somewhere and become still and peaceful until all that drama is gone. Now, once you feel this peace, then turn back to the situation and be prepared to receive the angels of God in the form of inner guidance and direction as what to do next. Do you get the practical application? Practical application. Stuff happens, and we know that what? Stuff is going to happen. All right? So now our mode of thing is not, instead of letting our ego push us into drama, is to step back and become still, quiet ourselves of all that stuff that's going on. It's like, again, when they brought the adulteress to Jesus and, you know, said, what should we do with her? Jesus went down and started doodling in the sand. What he was doing, he was separating his mind from all the dynamics that were going on around him. And in that doodling in the sand, he got the guidance. So now we don't have to doodle in the sand. We can doodle on our iPads. Just doodle on your iPad until you quiet down and the idea comes to you. But whatever it is for you, okay? So it is by way of diligent daily practice that you're able to remain centered in that Christ place within you. Diligent daily practice. Don't wait till the stuff happens and then say, oh, that's right, I got to become still. It ain't going to not going to happen. It's not going to happen, okay? And when you're able to enter this sacred place, the angels will come bringing you clear guidance, and you will know clearly and peacefully what to do. Now, the angels, well, we're just using that word, and that's the word used in Scripture to say that's the divine process. Those are the thoughts that flow into your mind. Okay, does that make sense? Okay. Now, if a loved one needs to be comforted by you, you will be able to comfort her because you will be comforted by the peace of God that the angels bring to your mind and heart. If someone is trying to provoke you, you'll be able to hold that person in peaceful thought, knowing that God's angels are working through both of you to bring about peace and harmony. If your finances or other material needs seem to be lacking, by focusing your attention on the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, even though you do not know how to solve that financial dilemma, you will know in your heart that God does. You get what I'm saying? When stuff has happened in your life, you say, I don't know what to do. Just say to yourself, but God does. Not God outside of you, but the higher essence of your own being knows what to do. And it begins working in unison with the universe. Dr. Carl Jung talks about this. It works in concert with the universe to synchronistically bring you to the place and time that you need to be to make this whole thing unfold. Okay? Now, God being, again, the divine substance in your superconscious mind, where it's always available and always pouring prosperity and abundance into your life. Okay, so you got to understand that when you need something to happen in your life, it doesn't start to happen because you say, I need it to happen. The good you're looking for is always happening. You get it? It's always flowing. It's always there. It's always available to you. But because the ego is caught up in the dynamics of what's happening in the world, you're not aware that you're actually in that which you want, which you're asking for, what you need. You're already in it, and it is in you. So the peace that surpasses all understanding is the peace of Advent. And a clue to developing a conscious relationship with God, which will lead to this level of peace, is in the statement that I used earlier, through the Christ mind that dwells in me. Okay? It is imperative we come to know and understand that the Christ dwells within us as our constant companion, protector, and spiritual guide. And as it's recorded in Matthew 28:20, that Jesus said to us, remember, I am with you always, even to the ends of the earth. So there is never a point when this activity we call God is not with us. We are always in it. You cannot not be in it. I don't care how bad we might feel, or upset, or angry, or scared, or depressed, or whatever, you cannot not be in God. Is that a dangling participle or something? Not. Okay. But you can't. What is it? Double negative. Okay. Right. But it works. Exactly. Right. Okay. And we all experience being frightened, lonely, and angry. Every single one of us experienced that. You know, I've told you constantly about my, you know, friend Big Dave McElwain back in the day when I was doing powerlifting. 330 pounds of solid muscle. He was huge. He held all the powerlifting records in this area. I don't know if any guys here do bench press, but most guys would warm up with 135 pounds of bench press. He would warm up with 315 pounds or 20 reps. He was massive, all right? But Big Dave also had times when he was scared. You get what I'm saying? And he had this way of roaring to scare people around him, but he roared to scare them because they didn't want them to know that he also was scared. It's like Zig Ziglar says, when somebody says something to hurt you, it is because they themselves are hurting. You know, if you could just remember that somebody does something to you that really upsets you, they only could do that because they themselves are hurting. That's when you allow the Christ to come up and bless this individual instead of letting the ego come up and react to this individual, okay? So, you know, when you allow this to happen, when you become angry or frightened or lonely or whatever it is, what this is happening is because we're in a very low place in consciousness. You're in a low place in consciousness when something in your life frightens you and knocks you off your center. The Christ mind, however, is the highest place available to you. And that's where you want to stay, is in that Christ mind. The Christ mind is a peaceful, all-knowing condition within you that creates and supports a way of life that is quite different from our normal way of thinking. And we have become used to the fact that our life can be up in one moment and down in the next. It's almost like, to us, that's just the way it is, okay? But the Christ mind within you is very different from our common human mind, providing us with an internal, inner sanctuary of peace. So, yeah, our regular normal mind can be up and down, but we can step back from that and enter into that quiet place within us. And you can do that right when somebody's right in front of you, laying you out for something. Just give them the Butch Mosby look. Yeah. Just kind of, you know, a little bit, not laugh, but just a little smile on your face and just drift it off somewhere. So the Christ mind knows only the abundance of God. It knows nothing about lack and limitation. The Christ mind knows only health and wholeness of God. It knows nothing about being depressed, sick, or discouraged. The Christ mind knows only the love of God. It knows nothing about adversity, anger, or fear. The Christ mind only knows the peace of God. So when you go into that Christ mind within you, you don't have to say to yourself, oh, I'm not going to be angry, I'm not going to be upset, I'm not going to be depressed. You don't have to say any of that, because in that space, none of that exists. That's why when you say, God, please heal me of this, or please help me with that, God can't help you with that or heal you, because God doesn't see any of that. All God will say to you is, come and be with me. Because in the space that I'm in, all that stuff you're going through, it doesn't exist. It does not exist. All right? And our ego, our intellect won't let us grasp that there is a space where all that I'm experiencing is purely an illusion. And that's really hard. Okay? So when we learn how to live life fully from our Christ mind, we will discover that it produces a quality of life in which abundance and wholeness and love and peace are undaunted by the appearance of lack, sickness, adversity, and disharmony. Okay? But it's interesting to note that most of us operate from some level of awareness of our Christ mind. Let me say that again. Most of us operate from some level of our Christ mind. We can see it on TV when there is a catastrophe somewhere, and all of the hearts that pour into helping the people who are being devastated by that. The 8,000 or whatever firemen who are fighting the fire in California, and they came from everywhere. Places get wiped out and there's no electricity. And even here we send truckloads of electricians down there to help them to restore it up. You follow me? You see it, you know, that the Christ, that we are touching the hem of the garment of the Christ mind. But the level that the level at which you're touching it will determine how your life is unfolding. And these Advent lessons are about how to raise the level of awareness of faith, love, peace, and joy that we are receiving from the Christ mind. So when you say, boy, I'm joyful about this, well, you got to know that joy that you're feeling, it starts in your gut and it just comes up in your chest. You know what I'm talking about, right? It's a real feeling of joy. When you get that, you know you've touched the Christ mind, okay? But the key is to not let anything take that away from you. That's the key. So when you receive information from the Christ mind within you, there is a surge of inspiration that raises the vibration of your entire body, mind, and heart. And you find yourself becoming at one with the guidance that you're receiving, freely surrendering to it. And as you come to know that this is the best way to be, the best way to move, the best avenue to go in, you enter into a state of peace. But you stay with that ego, remember, it's not your amigo. I love that. So how does knowing all this help us with the Advent journey? The critical point for us to grasp is that our quest for spiritual enlightenment is to understand that what is important is the nature of our mindset. in which we think, and understanding how do we develop this mindset. So as I'm talking to you, let's say there's, 80, 90 people out here. As I'm talking to you, every single one of you are hearing what I'm saying different. Nobody is hearing it the same way. And you know what? The marketing people know that. Because as I'm speaking, you're listening to me through your history. You're not listening to what I'm saying right in this moment. You're evaluating everything that I'm saying to you based on your history. That is your mindset. This is my mindset. All right? As I've told you many times before, this is what I'm telling you today. But if I give you this same talk next year, it'll be different. Same words, different. Why? Because what? I will be different. Okay? But if we're stuck in a mindset and we won't let ourselves move out of that mindset, we can't never grasp and get value from hearing and understanding the truth. Okay? And the definition of mindset is a habitual mental attitude that determines how you interpret and respond to what is occurring in your life. A habitual mental attitude. Charles Fillmore calls it crystallized race consciousness. We are crystallized in a certain thought process, and we just can't get ourselves out of it. And because the way you respond to the experiences in your life will determine how you experience the guidance you receive from God, you get what I'm saying? Then you need to say to yourself, well, maybe I need to start to let go of what I see and just be open and receptive to God's living spirit of truth. However, what is encouraging on this spiritual journey is to know and embrace the truth that we already have within us the potential to think God thoughts and speak words of peace, love, prosperity, and live a peaceful, joyous, prosperous life regardless of what is happening around us. We already have it within us. We cannot become more spiritual. That's what people in New Thought love to say. I want to be more spiritual. You can't be more spiritual. You have all the spirit that you ever will get. It says right in Genesis, and God saw what he had made, and he said it was good. We were given it to us right in the beginning of the Bible, this wholeness of spiritual self, all right? And we're not saying that there isn't any peace, love, joy, and prosperity in our lives now, but what we are striving for in this Advent journey is to discover and know the peace, faith, love, and joy that is impervious to outer disturbances and challenges. That which you cannot touch. That which cannot be touched. All right? But for this to occur, there has to be a willingness on our part to allow a change to happen in our mental climate, meaning the habitual mental attitude that determines how we interpret and respond to life situations. Is everybody getting that? The way I see the world right now, the way I, Butch Mosby, see the world right now, has to change. It has to evolve. I tell you, that's why God put me in this position. I didn't choose to be a minister. A series of events happened. You know, right, Margaret?
Yes.
A series of events happened, and all of a sudden, here I was. And I think what happened in my past lives, I was such a, you know what, that, you know, in school, they put you in a corner, you got to write 1,000 times, I will be, you know, and God said, this is your lifetime, you're going to write 1,000 Sunday lessons, right? Right, because I never said, oh, I want to do this. They talk about down at Unity Village where there's the Peace Chapel, and you go into the Peace Chapel, and people will come out of the Peace Chapel and go, oh, I heard God say I need to be a minister. So one of the teachers said to one, are you sure God wasn't talking to the person sitting behind you? Right? So it's a matter of mental, emotional reconditioning. Is everybody hearing me? All right. So this is a psychological process, a psychological, emotional process. I need to let go of my resistance and let myself evolve to a higher state of consciousness. Now, don't let your ego intellect say, oh, yeah, I know how to do that. And it develops a higher perception of yourself. It's still the same thing. Okay. So, for example, if you say to yourself, there's not enough money, if it occurs in a mental climate of fear, then that thought will generate an unpeaceful, fearful response. However, if you take the same thought, there's not enough money, and that occurs in a mind where the mental climate has surrendered to the Christ mind, meaning a mind that has been practiced daily through prayer and meditation and is not controlled by outer circumstances, then that same thought, there is not enough money, will generate a stream of divine ideas accompanied by guidance and direction as how to implement those ideas. You get it? So one mind will say, there's not enough money. Oh, woe is me. I'm down in the dumps. The other mind says, whoa, there's not enough money. It becomes still, and all of a sudden, all these divine ideas come. Who's experienced that? I know we've had people experience it, right? So it's real. Okay? So, you know, negative, fearful thoughts will be incapable of disturbing the climate of faith, peace, love, and joy that is perpetual with a Christ-inspired mind, okay? And the idea is to do the work necessary to become fully Christ-charged. I like that. Which will give you the mental ability to respond to life from a greater sense of love and understanding, come up with a greater solution, a greater sense of forgiveness, a greater sense of compassion. In short, you will have the strength and courage to bring to life a greater you. You know? So when you feel afraid, you know, you're shrinking back, oh, this is too much going on, you're bringing to life a little weak you, a little Mickey Mouse you. You want to bring to life a greater you. All right? And most of the time when we have a knee-jerk reaction to the situations and people in our lives, we bring a lesser self to that experience. A self that is either diminished or weakened by fear and corrupted by an arrogant ego's need to be right. Right? Now the choice, as usual, is ours to make. To either bring our greater self or retreat to our lesser self. And this is the purpose of the Advent journey. And as Denzel Washington expressed, easy is a greater thought, a greater threat to progress than hardship. I like that. All right? Meaning it is not it's not the easy life we're striving for. It's a spiritual life that is our quest and our divine right. And as the old spiritual would say, no one said the road would be easy. Okay? That's why in 23rd Psalm, yea, that I walk where? Through the valley of the shadow of death. Not, you know, hang out, set up a tent, get some tea, lay back, and be all upset. All right? It's going through the valley of the shadow. And he says, as you're going through the valley of the shadow of death, what? I am with you. My rod and my staff, they comfort you. Okay? So there's a process to this idea. So we're on the Advent journey, whether we choose to be or not. Everybody see what I said? Yes. You cannot not choose to be on the Advent journey. You're on the Advent journey, all right? And I recommend that we all choose to wake up and take the journey consciously, seriously, willingly, and that we take the journey together. Commit yourself to the journey. Commit yourself to being here on Sunday with each other. Yes, you can watch it on the internet, but you know what you're missing on the internet when you watch it at home? You're missing the organic feeling of the energy of the other people who are on the same path being with you, all right? And so you want to commit yourself to the process. Commit yourself to supporting each other, these wonderful people all around you. This is your spiritual family. This is your spiritual home. Realize that truth. Accept your responsibility in this divine relationship. And if you do, it will greatly enhance your spiritual growth. And have faith in that, knowing that that is so. Amen. Amen.